The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, and the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart, this is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What in the prayer of the day is the seed of the word that we thank God today for planting in us? What is this word which we ask the Holy Spirit to help us receive with joy, live according to, and so grow in faith and hope and love? Word of God. Word of God is arguably the most dangerous term in all of human history. Used one way, it constrains, segregates, condemns, and kills. Used another way, it brings life and light and freedom. If its uses are confused and its purposes conflated, it brings misery and suffering and pain to all. What is this word of which Jesus speaks so positively and for which we have prayed so thankfully? Let me begin by saying that according to the scriptures, at least according to Isaiah, Matthew, and Paul, there is not one word of God, but two words of God. One of which, only one of which, needs to be planted, nourished, and nurtured in us. The other word of God is attested to in the Bible, but we don't need a Bible to experience it, and we don't need faith for it to affect us. That word, that other word, is everywhere around us and in us. Paul calls this word the law of sin and death. On the one hand, it is essential to both natural and civil order. On the other, it is above and beyond both natural and civil order. That word includes the whole corpus of biblical law. Natural law, civil law and anything that says, if you do such and such, then such and such will happen to you. This is the penultimate word of God, not the last, but the next to the last word. Paul writes that to set the mind on that word is death. We seldom receive that word of God with joy. And try as we might, we seldom conform our lives to it. This word cannot cause growth or faith or hope or love, but only brings stagnation and fear and the overwhelming desire for self-preservation. Yet Isaiah, Paul, Matthew, and Jesus, and Christ's church still today, proclaims this word as the word of God. Not as the solution to every problem, more likely as the exacerbator of our problem. In short, this word of God is not the word we thank God for planting in us. We got to live with it all the time. Most people, particularly religious people, particularly Christian religious people, conflate this word of God with the other word of God, and in their confusion, misuse both. When these two words of God, Lutheran language, judgment and promise, law and gospel, are conflated and equated with each other, obedience rather than trust becomes the order of the day. And God's word brings nothing but judgment. This is a common error. It is the error Paul deals with in his long letter to the Romans. It is the error Jesus deals with as he argues with his opponents. It is the error of modern fundamentalism, Christian fundamentalism in particular. It is precisely this error that concludes that simply placing the Ten Commandments in public places or saying under God in the Pledge of Allegiance will somehow magically make us all better. It is precisely the conflating and equating of these two words of God that drives some to discriminate, condemn, and kill others in the name of Jesus. To remain with today's seed metaphor, these are bad seeds and produce nothing but anger and pain and sorrow. So what is the word of God whose seed was, thanks be to God, planted in our hearts? The short answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word planted in our hearts. Jesus does what, according to Paul, the law weakened by the flesh could not do. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were planted in us when we were baptized. Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now lives in us and directs our daily lives. In Jesus, there is no condemnation, no segregation, no elimination, and no death. Through Jesus, the Word of God, planted in us, we grow in faith, hope, and love. Jesus is that Word of God for which we give thanks. The Word of God who is cradled, that's Martin Luther's term, in the Holy Scriptures. Not the Holy Scriptures, notice, but the cradle of Christ. Jesus is that word of God which we experience in the waters of baptism, in the forgiveness of sin, in the bread and wine of the Eucharist. Jesus is the word of God that we pray will grow in us richly. you may still think or fear that when we say that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, we are still being too exclusive. What about everybody else? And given what we are hearing from Christian nationalists around us, your fears may be well-founded. So let me say this. Jesus Christ is the embodiment, the perfection of the Word of God that is God's promise of life and freedom to Noah and his descendants, God's promise of love and land and children to Abraham and Sarah and their offspring, God's promise of freedom to Hebrew slaves, God's promise of peace to all the world through the prophets. That promise testified throughout the Bible has always been inclusive, equally inclusive as God's judgment, as death. That promise is made to all, that promise is acceptable to all, and that the promise depends for all on nothing more than God's faithfulness to God's own promise. To say or teach otherwise serves only to limit the nature of God and the power of God for one's own exclusive purposes. That is the Word, God's promise, Jesus Christ, planted in us at baptism, nourished in us at the Eucharistic meal, encouraged in us by the community of the faithful of every time and every place. That is the Word we receive with joy. That is the Word we trust for life. That is the Word, the only Word, which causes us to grow 30, 60, 100-fold in faith, hope, and love. Of that Word, Jesus says, "Let anyone who has ears listen." For that Word, we joyfully sing, "Thanks be to God." Amen.